Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns season is finally here. Let's paint the town Browns each and every Friday this season. Wear your favorite Browns gear and decorate your work or school on Fridays throughout the season. Then send us your photos using the hashtag #WeAreCleveland. Big initiative here, and want to see everybody get dressed up, get fired up tomorrow for this game. Paint the town Browns. Joined now by one of the voices of the Cleveland Browns, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Doug, this first game is but one of 16 that the Browns will play this year, but it seems to be taking on a large amount of importance. I think we all agree that it's important to get this thing started on the right foot. How important is this game in your mind?
Well, I think every game is important, and obviously the first one is, you can't win them all unless you win the first one. Not to say that, you know, any team's ever going to do that again like the Dolphins of 72, but I think, you know, just from an attitude standpoint, the confidence of what you've done in training camp can carry over to the regular season, and it wasn't just the 3-1 record wasn't a fluke. It was, you know, we have a good starting core here, and we've got some depth on the roster.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing is when you look at this roster, and Joe Hayden talked about this yesterday, and I did a column on it for ClevelandBrowns.com. It's posted there now. Hayden believes this is a more talented team. Now, I know, understandably, he's talking mostly from a defensive perspective, but Doug, he's saying the difference between the club that he's on now in year four and the one he's been on the previous years is that he sees more talent around him, and he believes that the difference in a lot of games came down to the other team just having better physical athletes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at there was a thing in the Miami release where they were talking about, I think, 51% of the games in the NFL are 8 points or less. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, close games every Sunday, and, right. You know, you're not always going to have your starting 22. So, you know, having the backup people is very important, and we found it already at the guard position. But this, you know, if you look across the starting lineup, I mean, we've got a lot of good players. And, you know, we're playing Miami, which was 7-9. We were 5-11. But interesting, neither team is starting a rookie. You know, a lot of times when teams do not have good records the year before or playoff records, you see some rookies get some starts. But obviously, you know, both clubs are, you know, satisfied that they're starting 22, you know, are veteran players.
When you look at this matchup, one of the things that I think is critical is the ability to get pressure on Ryan Tannehill, disrupt the routes of Mike Wallace, Brian Hartline, of course, and really disrupt this passing offense. Jake Long is gone. Jonathan Martin takes over for him at left tackle, allowed a league-high 47 quarterback pressures last year as a tackle. What can you do to take advantage of that, and how do you expect the Browns to attack this passing game? Is it outside Jabal Sheard? Are you looking for Jabal Sheard to just dominate Jonathan Martin in this game?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the one thing is we have different rotations that we can put in there. And if you look at their guards, they're just kind of big concrete slabs with heartbeats that, you know, are physical players. And you all of a sudden you put a Billy Wynn in there and you get a matchup that, you know, might favor you. You know, I think Phil Taylor is going to be, you know, great at the point of attack. We know what Reuben can do, you know, as far as Desmond Bryant. We haven't seen a lot of him. But I think, you know, that group will, you know, hold down the running game. And I'm not sure the Dolphins are real sure what their running game is at this point between Miller and Thomas. But the thing about it is, you know, when you get to the passing situation, we're not sure where we have on the one corner. So if you can get a pass rush, you can make those decisions a lot. The quarterback make his decisions a lot quicker and get the ball out quicker. And I think, you know, we've probably have just scratched what we've seen in the preseason in regards to, you know, what this defense can do and what kind of packages they can throw at you.
And, Doug, I know, again, you always go to this place because it is your wheelhouse. We're going to talk offensive lines here, but to the point of what you're saying in terms of the Browns' pass rush, the general consensus and wisdom is that the Dolphins' offensive line is going to have a tough time, that is the weakest area of that football team, if that's to be believed, with Jonathan Martin trying to fill that Jake Long role at left tackle, that there's a real doubt as to exactly how, you know, how much he can do to make that work, and that really the only two players, I mean, the one player on that team that anchors that line, Mike Pouncey, good center, maybe one of the better ones in the league, Richie Incognito, mostly because of his tough attitude that he brings to the table at left guard, but the right guard spot with John Jerry up in the air. He's been hurt. And then big Tyson Klebo at right tackle, some questions there. How do you see that matchup with that line and those question marks on that Dolphin line?
Well, obviously, I think, you know, Jabal Sheard is going to give Martin, you know, a good workout on the afternoon. But, I also think, you know, Paul Kruger, you know, with the way he rushes the passer, going against a right tackle, you know, he should be able to get some heat on him, too. Yeah, Pouncey is the key, but also, you know, Claybell's, I think, has gone to a Pro Bowl. I think even Richie Incognito went to a Pro Bowl, too. But
yep.
So, that, you know, if you look at the resumes, yeah, it's not as bad as it looks. But, you know, I guess you look in the trenches of how games are going to be decided. I think I'd take our offensive line against their offensive line. And if you look at their defensive line and they say that's the strength of the team, Our defensive line is just as good.
I agree, and I think that's going to be the difference here. The one concern I have for our offensive line is the matchup between Cameron Wake, the all-world defensive end, and Mitchell Schwartz. And talk a little bit from your perspective as an offensive lineman. What can you do to help Mitchell Schwartz out should he need it to give Brandon Whedon the time? Because in this offense, it's not so many quick releases. It's deeper drops, longer routes, so you need to have more time to let those plays develop.
Well, you know, one thing is you can keep a tight end in on occasion just to slow him down, just so he doesn't get too far out in space. The other thing is, you know, you can chip with the running back and, you know, just don't let Cameron Wake have a free run to the quarterback. You know, make him think that, you know, he might be getting whacked from somebody else besides, you know, Mitchell Schwartz. And I think, you know, that's important. You can't just get into a steady groove of same place, you know, pass play, and not, you know, give a guy an occasional piece of help over there. And, you know, I guess if anything, I probably wore knee pads during my playing days begging for it, you know. But, there's different ways you can do it. I mean, and, you know, another thing is, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you run one of those crackback plays, and I complimented Greg Little, and I'm trying to think of the game, it might have been Detroit. He came back on that Willie Young and just knocked him right off his feet. So, you know, defensive ends, when they got to start looking around to see who might be hitting them from someplace else, they're not always as focused as they are in the pass rush as normal.
Doug Deacon from the Browns, PNC Bank Radio Network, is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He will be with Jim Donovan in the radio booth on Sunday for the call, 1 o'clock, Browns and Dolphins, First Energy Stadium. Doug, I said this at the beginning of the show that, you know, for all the stepping up that we talk about on the offense without Josh Gordon there, that the conversation generally has started with which receiver will do the job. Will it be a Travis Benjamin? How good will Greg Little play? And what will we get from Devon Bess, newest Brown, former Dolphin? And then Trent Richardson, yeah, the running game, got to step that up. But I think the weight of all of this really falls on the shoulders of the quarterback, as it should, that Brandon Whedon actually has to do more. And I'm not saying it's got to be bigger numbers, but it's got to be as clean a game as he can play, and there have to be some plays that he's going to make that are not typical, say, or easy to overcome the fact that he doesn't have his best playmaker.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I think, you know, the key is going to be ball maintenance. If you don't turn the ball over, you're going to increase your chances. But with that said, like you said, there's going to be throws that will probably be contested, but you just got to make sure you throw them where your guy is the only guy that's going to have a chance to catch it. And I mean, but it's on the same thing on the other side. Tannehill is, you know, second-year quarterback. He's, you know, in his second year in the West Coast offense.
Right.
And, you know, obviously he's getting more comfortable there too. But I think, you know, Brandon is comfortable in what he's doing. And, you know, I think he trusts his arm. But, you know, you can't be a gunslinger like Jeff George used to be, where you thought that you're, you know, you're
Nathan's guy.
I love Jeff George.
Yeah, you think that your arm can, you know, beat the coverage regardless of what the what it is. And, you know, a lot of times I don't think he knew the game plan. He just threw the ball because, you know, he thought his arm was that strong.
I love it. Jeff George, I wasn't ready for that. You got to caught me off
guard.
Jeff
George,
I like it. Jeff George, absolutely.
He's got his jersey, Doug, just for the record.
Last time that was brought up on Browns Daily, Aaron Metcalf was here.
Don't wear it in the studio.
Don't forget he went to Illinois. So it's tough for me to, you know, spit on one of my guys, but I saw saw him quite a bit.
So for the record, when he retired, he had one of the lowest interception percentages in the history of the NFL. So okay. His strong arm did something. Anyway,
move on,
back
please.
To the Cleveland Browns. When you talk about the turnover on the roster, because a lot of our callers here and a lot of our listeners have talked about the turnover at the bottom of the roster, obviously the kicker situation. When you look at the special teams, is that a concern for you? Because the coverage last year of the Cleveland Browns was so good. The Dolphins, one of the top five teams in terms of average kick return, in terms of yards per kick return, and now you have a new kicker. Are you concerned about the special teams coming together this quickly for week one, knowing that there's been so much turnover really in the last week?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the inactives and actives on Sunday, and you're going to find out, you know, how many of these guys were with the ball club 2 weeks ago? And we picked up, what, six new players? And obviously they're not going to be starters, so they're going to contribute on the special teams. But with that said, you know, the Dolphins, that's one of their strengths. And I'm trying to think of the return guy's name. He was like fourth in kickoff returns and fifth in punt returns or vice versa. But, you know, so they live by the special teams. They're a good special team play. You know, and I think, you know, the comfort zone.
Marcus Thigpen, you're talking about?
Yeah, Thigpen, yeah. But, you know, you look at the comfort level of the combination of Jan and Lanning and now, okay, our new kicker. We seem to go
Billy Gundy.
Billy Gundy, yeah.
But you got some names to learn between now and Sunday, my man.
Oh, I mean, I got to go in the locker room and I'm seeing these new, where's the name tags? But you know, that's the bottom of your roster, and that's how you do improve. I mean, you know, you always try to upgrade your roster, and it's just not like, okay, you know, we're the 49ers, and, you know, we were in the Super Bowl last year, and these were the guys that got us there, so we're going to keep, you know, all our guys, and if we had one or two, that's okay. But, you know, we've had quite a few guys, and they're young guys, inexperienced. I mean, for what, probably 10 or 12 of them, it could be their first NFL game.
Can special teams, when you talk about coverage, and again, all these new people, not just that they're new to the NFL as rookies, these especially these undrafted guys, whoever it is who gets to dress for Sunday, but new to Chris Tabor, new to Sean Menega, the special teams coaches who will get them choreograph whatever this is going to be on Sunday, how quickly do you think that comes together, realistically, can come together in the course of a week leading up to? And you're also trying to know how your kicker kicks, because we know on kickoffs, the philosophy of this Browns team, especially Chris Tabor, is directional kicking. He doesn't want Billy Cundiff always banging it away. Yeah. If you can bang it out of the end zone, great, but sometimes you're doing directional kicking too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a feel there. I mean, you know, you talk about your offensive lines having chemistry playing together. But, the guys, you know, to execute the game plan and the special teams, and there is a game plan. I mean, the emphasis put on special teams in the NFL is great. And it's, you know, a third of the game, as they say. And, you know, we saw what Travis Benjamin can do. He's a game changer for us. But, you know, Thigpen, as you mentioned, he's a guy that has set them up with some pretty good field position over last year. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's kind of an unknown, you know. But I think if you looked at, you know, special teams from one team to the other, 31, there's not a lot of big difference in special teams.
Right, and in this game, without Josh Gordon, we talked about the defense, special teams helping to provide shorter fields for this offense. But when you're on a team where you know that you're going to be able to spread the defense out, but also stay committed to the run, Trent Richardson going to be featured heavily in this game. As an offensive lineman, does that help you get fired up? Do you prefer to kind of get in that mode where you're road grating and getting out there and just putting a hat on a hat?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is, you know, during the preseason or exhibition season or whatever the league wants us
that
to
other
call
season?
It. Yeah, you know, you run the inside running game. So we really haven't seen the outside running game. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if we can get Trent Richardson out in space, because, you know, that's where, you know, all of a sudden when you bring a cornerback up trying to tackle him, you know, he's going to win those battles.
That's why there's a new rule in the NFL.
Yeah. Doug, he told us yesterday he's 222 pounds, and he was 237 last year.
And he's so much quicker.
237.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a big drop.
That's a big drop, but I mean, he still has the same amount of power. I mean,
right.
And if you're a cornerback and you're trying to wrap your arms around him, you better have long arms.
Exactly.
I mean, he's a big wide body.
So you can see philosophically, because I think for him it became frustrating as a runner, many more outside plays. It seemed like too often last year the play call had him trying to just bang it up the middle, even though he carried that power, and maybe at 237 he was kind of built for that. But in truth, if you ask Trent Richardson, his preference is to take it outside, and it looks like what we've seen through camp, a lot of stretch plays to the outside.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of the things with the West Coast offense we saw last year. They didn't have a lot of outside running plays. And, you know, to me, you know, why pound your head against a brick wall if, you know, they've got good people inside? You know, hit them out on the outside and the perimeter and see what their people can do. I mean, they've gotten a couple new linebackers there, Ellaby and Wheeler. Wheeler, of course, came over from the Raiders. And, you know, they're more athletic. They're trying to match up, I think, so they can take the tight ends of New England away. But, you know, we'll see how they can defend a run on the perimeter.
And I think it's a good thing. I think Trent Richardson's dedication to his body, getting down, becoming quicker, shows that he's expecting to be on the outside, be in space. And I think he is visually much faster at this point than he was, obviously, last year when you didn't even get to see him coming back from surgery.
Well, yeah, and then the other thing is in the exhibition game down in Indianapolis, we saw him with the swing pass. Now, you know,
great cut.
It's an extended, you know, handoff, but... Well, you know, he's a load out there. I mean, he's got some moves, yeah, and he can make you miss.
He can. Doug, great breakdown. We appreciate it, and we will see you on Sunday. Year number, what is this, 40?
Oh, this is 40. This is 40 with the Browns, and you got the three we worked for the. So it's actually 43, but I don't think they give me credit.
All right, well, we'll give you the credit. He is the dean of Browns broadcasting, Doug Deacon, and he will be on again the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network with Jim Donovan on the call Sunday's game, Browns Dolphins First Energy Stadium. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Top of the hour, you're going to hear from the team president, Alex Shiner, and vice president of fan engagement, Kevin Griffin, going to talk all about what to expect on Sunday. Biggest message, get there early. Get there early. Show up early for
early.
The game. Early. That's the message.
Timeliness. That's right.
And then Solomon Wilcots, we'll hear from him from CBS Sports, because he's going to be doing the analysis. He'll be the analyst for CBS's coverage of Sunday's game. And then a little later, we hope to have Don Banks. He's in Denver from SportsIllustrated.com, trying to juggle a schedule around to give us a little call in from there and get some national topics covered with Don. All of that ahead on a Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNO.